All right, we kick off hour two with a little Offspring here on this Monday morning.
Great tune for Monday morning, baby.
As an exquisite track from our man 20 Fingers Behind the Glass. Cheese producing today's show and the entire week with Arad Asfandi up on Overdrive. You're listening to First Up here on TSN 1050. We stream worldwide, tsn1050.ca and the iHeart Radio Canada app. I'm back from a weekend down in Playa del Carmen. Thrilled to be back with my guy, Carlo Koliakvo, because there's so much great content to get to, Coco. Mondays are always the cornucopia of sports. I mean, you have the Raptors, a big win over Orlando, the Leafs, another OT loss, 1-6 in OT this year, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Such a mind-boggling stat when it comes to the Maple Leafs, for how good they've played over the month of November, and to have this overtime record. And it's like, the crazy thing about it, it's like first shift, and then last four overtimes, it's like, all right, first shot on net goes in. It's
it was
crazy.
It was a bad goal scored by Alex Killorn and a bad giveaway by Austin Matthews. And I just feel like Matthews is terrible at 3-on-3. Like, is there a bigger disparity between a guy in regulation and a guy 5-on-5 versus a guy at 3-on-3?
See, but here's the thing, AK. When you're evaluating 3-on-3, like, I don't use the word bad giveaway in 3-on-3, because 3-on-3, you're trying to make plays. You know, that's what's supposed to happen, and that's why you see these guys continue to circle out of the zone, because they don't want to make a bad pass, because that bad pass can lead to a transition play. And even though that was a bad pass by Matthews, it was a harmless shot that shouldn't have went in. And so it is what it is, you know. But here's the thing about the Maple Leafs, and you know, I touched on this early on in the season when they weren't getting these so-called loser points. You know, these loser points that you're getting, they add up, man. They go a long way, you know, near the end of the season. And if you're going to lose a game, you know, you're best off losing a game where you're battling and you take it to overtime and then you take it from there. I mean, obviously you want to get 2 points, but if you're not, you know, at least you're not getting blown out, or at least you're coming away with something.
That's a very positive outlook.
It's true,
but they
though.
Are 1-6 in OT. There's no way the Toronto Maple Leafs, with the offensive firepower they have on their roster,
it's ridiculous.
Should be 1-6 in OT. Yeah. At worst, they should be .500. This is no coincidence. There's something going on with these guys in overtime. And you're right. The goal that was scored on Matt Murray, I didn't think he had a good performance at all on Saturday night. And in large part due to all the penalties the Leafs were taking and Tampa was taking, too. I mean, the referees are another part of the story.
Well, look, you talk about another game for the Maple Leafs where they have a lead going into the third period, and it's right off the first drop of the puck. They take a penalty, they give up a goal, and, you know, it's a tie game now. And then a couple seconds later, it's another penalty. They give up a goal, now they're trailing, and they find a way to come back in that game, but... You know, I think, you know, you look at where the game got away from the Maple Leafs, they just took some very questionable penalties. Like, Alex Kerfoot, I'm sorry, man. His obsession of taking offensive zone penalties must drive Sheldon Keefe absolutely bananas. Like, I just don't understand. As much as Kerfoot is struggling right now, and he is the center of a lot of criticism because of the lack of production he's getting versus the amount that he's playing and the amount of money that he makes, when you've been designated to a third or fourth line role, you can't go out there and take penalties. And not only take penalties, take offensive zone penalties. You just can't do that. And this guy just absolutely loves doing that as of late. Like, he needs a sit down. He needs a reset, whatever it is they want to do with him. But again, it's hard to do that when you're continuing to lose bodies, you know, because now they call up Semyon Dyrgachentsev. Last week when we talked to Todd Crocker said that he's been, you know, one of the most impressive players on the Marlies right now. So maybe it's just a well-deserved recall for him.
Yeah, Alex Kerfoot's got one goal in 26 games, and he's a guy who contributes in a variety of ways. He kills penalties. He's a responsible player, and the Leafs trust him.
Hasn't been much responsible lately with the penalties he's taking.
That example on Saturday night where he couldn't have possibly been further away from his own goal, taking that penalty in the offensive zone, that was a big mistake.
Well, you remember in Game 6, in game six, the Maple Leafs, you know, he takes an offensive zone penalty when they are already killing penalties. And that goes 5-on-3. Next thing you know, they give up the tying goal and they end up losing in overtime. And you know how game seven went with this group. So Leaf fans don't forget about that.
No, and nor should they. Leaf fans won't forget about what Mitch Marner's done for 19 games in a row either. And I think you could look at Saturday night's game with regards to the positives and the negatives. I think there are some negatives for sure. I thought Matt Murray did not play well. I thought the Leafs' defense kind of got hemmed in their own zone many times by Tampa, a team that exposed the Leafs' lack of talent on the back end. Let's be frank here. I mean, the Leafs have a lot of injuries on D, and I think finally, and they lost the game, so that would make sense, it kind of showed through that they're a little outmatched and outclassed with regards to what Tampa's forward group brought versus the Leafs' defense. But I think the story of the game still, in spite of the loss, is Mitch Marner.
100% it is.
Two goals.
100% it is. What he just accomplished is unprecedented. 19 games in a row with a point. And remember, he's played one game this year without registering a point. One game. So happy that Mitch Marner is the face of this record. So happy that he stands alone and accomplished it. And I'm very curious to see how much further he can take this.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of the odds presented by FanDuel at 7:30 for Bet and Breakfast with regards to Marner and how long the streak could go. But let's hear from number 16, who spoke post-game about breaking the Maple Leafs point streak record on Saturday night.
I mean, it's cool. Like I was saying to you guys earlier this week, man, I grew up in this city. I love being a part of this team nowadays. It's special to me. It's special growing up to watch this team play hockey and now to have my name in something pretty amazing. It's, you know, it's hard to describe, but like I've been saying to you guys, man, it's not a one-man effort out there. It's five-man. That was a great effort by Dave there on that first one there. And, you know, just trying to go out there and help this team win games. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do it tonight, but you know, a lot of love to my guys for helping me out achieve this accomplishment.
A little bit muted following the loss in overtime, right? I mean, if they had won 4-3 in overtime, I'm sure Martin would have been a little bit more, you know, jubilant. But unfortunately for the Leafs, they lose 4-3. But that doesn't take anything away from Mitch Marner. It wasn't his fault they lost, that's for
sure.
Dude,
he's got five. He scored goals in five straight games. Like, he's having a really, really impressive season so far. And obviously with the streak, that justifies it, but I don't think there's anything to be upset about. I mean, you didn't get the result that you want, but the Maple Leafs are still playing really good hockey. And, you know, it's funny. It's amazing how blindsided some Maple Leaf fans get, because on my group chat, when the Leafs are winning 2-1 and going into the third period, the conversation was, man, this team plays better without Morgan Rielly. Do we really need him? And I was like, guys, pump the brakes. They're playing really, really well right now, but you don't win with this type of lineup in the playoffs. You need Morgan Rielly in your lineup, and you need TJ Brody in your lineup. Like, it's just, it's inevitable.
And maybe somebody else, too.
And maybe somebody else. Like, it's really impressive what they've been able to do right now, but don't think this is something that can, you know, continue to, you know, hold itself up over the length of a season. It's, they're managing themselves right now.
Treading water.
And it's good. They're finding out a lot about their players. And, you know, through adversity, that's what usually happens. And, you know, considering the stretch that they've just gone through, too, with all the road games that they've been facing, they've come out on the right side of it. And that's something that they continue to build on. And they're doing it with a lot of positive things happening, including, you know, Mitch Marner's record-breaking streak that he's currently on.
And we'll see two streaks going head-to-head tomorrow night in Dallas. It's Jason Robertson, who's got an 18-game point streak of his own.
That's amazing.
He scores, like, multiple goals almost every single game, including, well, last night he just scored one. Very, very.
Well, remember the last time they played the Leafs, it was his brother, Nick, who stole the show. Two goals and an overtime defeat, and I don't think Robertson registered a point that game.
Maybe that was the last time he didn't record a point for Jason Robertson, who's on an 18-game point streak, Marner on a 19. So we'll get into that with TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger in just over 30 minutes. We've got overreaction and proper reaction, and I have heard some buzz with regards to OG Anunoby, the Toronto Raptors, who was awesome on Saturday, scored 32 points, played his usual lockdown D on a number of Magic forwards, calling him Baby Kawhi Leonard. Is that an overreaction? Or maybe that's appropriate. That'll be one of the topics we cover on the other side of the San Francisco 49ers. Are they done with Jimmy Garoppolo? Done. Another one there for sure. So we'll bring in Cheese, our producer, today. Bet and Breakfast coming up, and Darren Dreger as well. More First Up as we continue next.
Hey, it's Monday morning.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
He scores! Mitch Marner! 19 straight games!
Oops, they did it again as the Cincinnati Bengals rally to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a bit of an overreaction there.
Note the intense overreaction.
Here is Mbappe. Mbappe! Oh, what a special goal.
Foden's cross. Saka is in there! It's 3-0! Oh, what a lovely finish from Bukayo Saka.
Don't overreact, okay?
Please don't overreact.
Bit of an overreaction, but what are you going to do?
Mbappe, dude. Did you see the goals that guy scored yesterday?
Ooh. Mbappe was nasty for
Unbelievable.
France.
Rockets.
Who advanced to take on England on Saturday in what's going to be one of the most remarkable games. And speaking of England, we'll bring in Cheese, our producer, in just a second. Did you see the reaction from that video at the English pub? I don't know exactly where it was.
After Pines, the second goal.
After Harry Kane scores yesterday. Man, they were going crazy. Imagine how much fun that would be. Oh, yeah. That was
amazing.
Great. That was great.
Amazing. Also, you know what's fun? 8 o'clock.
That's right.
So on this show,
the First Up Survivor Pool has been a massive success here on the show, and there are 14 teams we believe to be remaining in the pool. Some big time sweats for those who backed Seattle to beat the Rams yesterday, including in my own Survivor Pool, not in the First Up one because I'm eliminated there, just as we all are on the show. Man, Seattle was very close to losing to the Rams. They did pull it out. The Cleveland Browns, they beat the Houston Texans as well. Those are the most popular picks. So my guess is probably nobody eliminated this week, but free set of Rodex tires with free installation at your local Cal Tire plus $2,500 cash. Still up for grabs. But at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be announcing the winner of our final extra set of tires. We're hooking up with a participant to the pool, so you're going to want to stick around and listen. Perhaps your name is called in this draw. No overreaction to say that would be a huge prize, especially, you know, it's winter. I mean, the snow could be coming at any point in time here in Ontario. So you want to make sure you're properly equipped with the Rodex tires with installation at your local Cal Tire. Chris Horvat, you're producing this week's show here on First Up. What do we got for overreaction or proper reaction today, my man?
Buenos dias, gentlemen. Let's kick the weekend off with the biggest story. Mitch Marner, he is already one of the top 10 Maple Leafs of all time.
Oh, that's a proper reaction, 100%. I mean, you think about it, this guy finishing his career with the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I think is a pretty fair thing to say. This guy loves the Maple Leafs, grew up watching the Maple Leafs. He's going to be putting up numbers in this organization that we haven't seen before throughout
his
career.
Hold on, but he said already top 10. Already top 10. Not when he's done. Okay.
Yes, he's in my top 10 Maple Leaf for sure. 100%.
Yeah, I think that's got to be an overreaction, right? I mean, and listen, this is an era thing. I guess Mitch Marner, at age 25 through six seasons of Leaf, has he accomplished more than Johnny Bower, Tim Horton, Daryl Sittler? You know, like George
That's
Armstrong.
Five people you mentioned.
Well, I mean, I can keep going. Dave Keon and Syl Apps and Ted Kennedy and Matt Sundin and Boreas Salming. Like, I think Mitch Marner, when it's all said and done, could very well be a top 10 Maple Leaf. But a 19-game point streak through the month of November does not put him in that ledger quite yet. Maybe
Puts
one day,
at the
but
top of that list, though.
Yeah, it does. For point streaks, he's number one. But as far as all-time Toronto Maple Leafs, let's pump it a little bit. I think that's a massive overreaction.
All right. Over to the Diamond. The Texas Rangers, they're going to contend for a wild card spot next season after signing Jacob DeGrom.
Man, what a crazy deal that is. 5 years, a bill 85 for DeGrom, who's 34 years old. Yikes. And his arm just is very flimsy, even at the best of times. When Jacob DeGrom's pitching and pitching well, he's arguably best in Major League Baseball. But could Texas contend for a wild card? Sure. I mean, the amount of money that team spends with Semien and Seager and now Jacob DeGrom over the last couple of years, I don't see why not. But that's a risky proposition for Texas. Yeah, but you gotta spend if you want to contend.
To me, that's a massive overreaction. You know who the Texas Rangers are reminding me of? The old New York Rangers back in the day, where they just overspend for every big name free agent, but they just don't have the right fit. They still play in the same division. They still play in the same division as the Houston Astros. So, I don't think this takes them over the top. It's a very sketchy signing, considering, you know, look, when DeGrom is healthy and when he plays, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. But it's when he's healthy and when he plays, and you really get scared, you know, when you're paying a guy this amount of money and he's got his, you know, retirement, basically, you know, lottery ticket in the bag. How much motivation there is for him, right? And I hope it bodes well, because, you know, let's be honest, you want to see DeGrom dominate and you want to see this deal work out for players. But 5 years for 34-year-old, I know Verlander at 30, was he 39 now? He's looking for a 3-year deal.
He's gonna get it.
I think he is.
And he might get it from the Mets, ironically enough. So that's kind of the domino effect of the DeGrom signing, where there's a couple of great arms out there. Carlos Rodon would be another. Verlander, for sure. The Mets are going to sign one of them, because they had, $35, $40 million earmarked for DeGrom, and he opted to sign with Texas.
Crazy deal.
For all the money that Texas has spent, I don't even think they're as good as the Mariners right now. So for me, they're probably finishing third at best.
Right.
Kind of a weird signing for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Let's go to the NFL. The Green Bay Packers, they're going to run the table the rest of the way and make the playoffs.
Oh, come on. Jeez. That's a massive overreaction for me. I mean, I'm not buying a win against the Chicago Bears and saying, oh yeah, they're going to run the table now. They're 5-8 still. I actually have more hope and more belief that the Detroit Lions will finish with a better record than the Green Bay Packers, because they're just playing better football. They're better offensively. They play harder. And I'm not sure of the schedule as of late, who's got the tougher schedule or not, but I'm not buying into the Green Bay Packers beating a team that they own throughout their history, because they did set the record for most wins against the franchise, the Chicago Bears, and now buying into the Green Bay Packers. I'm just not doing that.
So even if Green Bay were to run the table, geez, there's no guarantees that they would actually get in the playoffs in the NFC. So they have a home game against the Rams. They're on bye this week. That's next week against the Rams. So that's probably a win. The Rams are horrible. Then they're at Miami, home for Minnesota, home for Detroit. So maybe 3 of 4 is a possibility. But running the table and squeaking in the NFC seems very unlikely. I think that is an overreaction, my friend.
All righty. Joe Burrow, he should be considered in the same tier as of quarterback as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
That's an overreaction. Patrick Mahomes is in a tier by himself, by the way. Josh Allen's not in Patrick Mahomes' tier right now. Definitely not. Patrick Mahomes is in a tier of his own. Then I think you have, of course, Joe Burrow, I think, would be definitely in that mix, and Josh Allen, amongst others. But Burrow's awesome. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we saw what he did last year. We see what he was doing this year, especially in the last 8 or 9 games or so. He's been outstanding, including yesterday, that big win for the Bengals over the Chiefs. But no, I don't think Burrow's in the same category as Patrick Mahomes. That would be an overreaction.
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction, too. You know, you can't hide, or at least not respect, what Joe Burrow has done in his short NFL career so far. And it's been a pretty colorful one. I mean, he took the Bengals to the Super Bowl in just his second season in the NFL, and he's had a really nice bounce back so far in the last 4 weeks. But I think he is still below a tier that has Mahomes and Josh Allen in it. And that could change in the coming weeks if he actually leads the Bengals to the top seed in the AFC. But until he does that, he's still a step below those two guys, if you ask me.
Okay, let's move to a quarterback who will never be in a tier with any of those guys. Zach Wilson, he has played his last game for the New York Jets.
Yeah, I think that's an overreaction, too. The Jets have made it clear that, you know, with the way their defense is playing this year, they want to maximize what they can out of this season. And clearly Mike White has given them the better option at quarterback. But I think it's a poor judgment to assess a number two overall pick in just his second season and completely give up on him? This guy's clearly gone through injuries, clearly doesn't have the right mindset right now, and I think it would be a foolish mistake to absolutely give up on him right now. Maybe this season is the right move, but not next season. You still got to see what this guy's worth.
No, I think you're spot on, Coco. I think Zach Wilson does play again for the New York Jets, unless there's some kind of trade in the offseason. I've always kind of circled Rodgers for Zach Wilson, the Green Bay, New York Jets connection. I always thought that would be a fascinating idea. And I think Zach Wilson, I don't believe he's Josh Rosen 2.0. That would be a little bit premature. But
or Sam
Josh
Darnold.
Rosen, or Sam Darnold, yeah. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick and got some opportunities, but clearly a massive bust there. Zach Wilson remains to be seen, but I think it's pretty obvious the Jets much prefer, at least the players do, Mitch White at quarterback than they
right.
do Zach Wilson. I've got one. San Francisco, the 49ers have no chance to win the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as their quarterback. Jimmy G is done for the year. He's got a foot injury. San Fran is done. Write them off. Overreaction or proper reaction, Coco?
That's a proper reaction. I'm sorry. As great as the San Francisco 49ers defense is, and as great as some of the talent that they have, Brock Purdy doesn't do it for me. I mean, this guy was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. And just because he had one good game, you know, at home, can he replicate that on the road in a hostile environment, which is where probably San Fran has to go through to have playoff success? I'm the quote Al's brother. I just don't see it happening.
It's always the ghost back to the Al's brother quote. Always. Because, you know, he's a very wise man, is Mr. Michael DiStefano. So that was overreaction or proper reaction. Again, the free set of Rodex tires to be given away at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. So if you were part of the First Up Survivor pool, you're going to want to tune in for that announcement. Maybe hear your name. Maybe get hooked up with those tires. Bet and breakfast on the other side. Our man 20 Fingers, he's got a World Cup parlay, and we'll fill you in on what FanDuel is saying about Mitch Marner's 19-game point streak. How long can it go? We'll tell you about that with Darren Dreger standing by. Korolnik, Koliakovo, this is First Up, TSN 1050. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, will join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk about Mitch Marner's 19-game point streak, the head-to-head against Jason Robertson, and his 18-game point streak. Again, that's in 15 minutes. Mark Domnick, our NFL Insider, in just over an hour. Wild weekend in the National Football League, led by a lot of betting controversies, Coco. We'll get into that in Bed and Breakfast right now.
Rise and shine.
A tough wake-up call this morning again.
Tired as hell.
It's time for Bet.
Let's just say I'm hammering the over.
And breakfast.
Roll out of bed, maybe make some coffee, have a bite to eat. So if you've been betting on Mitch Marner to get a point for, I don't know, a month now, you're rich. Congratulations. You have probably retired. You are down in Turks and Caicos, maybe living adjacent to James Duthie's villa down there and loving life. But if you haven't, there's ways to still profit from Mitch Marner. And FanDuel's got some interesting stuff right now. Specific markets to Marner and when the streak will end. If the streak will end. If you think Marner will get to 26 games or more, that pays 9-1. Coco, you hitting
wow.
that or what?
Wow. Yes, I'm hitting it right now. I've learned my very valuable lesson that you never try to bet against a streak. You follow it until it loses, or you stay away from it completely.
Interesting. Well, they've got the Dallas Stars tomorrow night, do the Maple Leafs, and Jake Oettinger's a great goalie for Dallas. Dallas has kind of been hit and miss as far as their...
They've been giving up a lot of goals lately, man.
...propensity to give up a lot of goals, and they also have a propensity to score a lot of goals with the NHL's top goal scorer in Jason Robertson. So we'll get to that for sure with Dregs in a couple minutes. And that is an interesting one with regards to Marner. And you talk about streaks and trying to bet against them. I mean, that's kind of what FanDuel is trying to capitalize on here. And I think it's a cool thing to bet on because and I know you said it on Overdrive when you joined the guys last week. Marner right now is just your eyes just lock in on him every time he's on the ice.
Every time he's on the ice.
This is it. And he had a ton of opportunities early in that game on Saturday against Tampa. He was all over the ice. He gets the record-breaking goal on a shorty, a pass from David Kampf. And I thought it was a great play by Kampf and a great finish from Marner, who is just rifling it right now. He scores twice on Saturday. That was really cool to see, for sure. As far as the NFL goes, I'm very curious to know how the futures markets look with regards to Jimmy G's injury, how much that alters the perception on FanDuel of the San Francisco 49ers. And you think about what they could be with Garoppolo. This is a team that's gone to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. They trade for McCaffrey. They've got this great defense, this great offensive line. Losing him with Brock Purdy now stepping in, I mean, that's obviously a huge hit. I think the same thing applies to the Baltimore Ravens, who beat the Denver Broncos yesterday 10-9. 10-9 was an NFL game. Oh, it's like an 80s NHL game. And Lamar Jackson gets hurt, and we saw the video of him kind of hobbled, trying to climb up the stairs. He's got a knee. He's going to miss some time. And, man, just watching the Denver Broncos' inability offensively. They can't score a touchdown.
It's pathetic,
Russell Wilson,
man.
Like, they're just, they're an abomination. And Nathaniel Hackett should consider putting his house up for sale soon.
I was reading
the other
day.
He can't be long for Denver.
Actually, yesterday, when Jamal Williams scored his 14th touchdown of the season for the Detroit Lions, he's running back of the Lions, that's more touchdowns than he has than the Denver Broncos.
I know. How wild is that? Jamal Williams has more tutties than the Denver Broncos
it's
do.
It's ridiculous,
that is pathetic,
man.
That is pathetic. Speaking of pathetic, Deshaun Watson was back in the NFL yesterday.
Right.
He was awful in his first game in 700 days. Yeah. The Browns win. They cover. But it had nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. It had everything to do with their defense, who scored three touchdowns of their own. And, man, do the Houston Texans, they are just looking ahead to the NFL draft. They have packed it in for the season. But the Browns cover the 7 points on FanDuel. I don't really know what you take from Cleveland. I don't really think Watson's going to be much this year. It's just too hard for him to assimilate himself into an offense. And 700 days, man, that's a long time.
Right. Look, and I want to talk about Deshaun Watson as a football player. I think we've spent enough time talking about the things that he's dealt with off the field. But for a guy that's missed 2 years of playing football, did you really expect that he was going to come in his first game? And not just a first game in the place that he left in Houston and expect him to have a breakout game? No, I think that's exactly what I thought the game he was going to have. He's shown signs of rust. He's shown that he struggled a little bit. But on the bright side, the team found a way to win. And, you know, does his game change next week when he's out of a home game where he's able to eliminate some of the off-field sort of attention that was on him for this game?
Yeah, it was a weird vibe there in Houston, and they're just so bad, it doesn't even matter. 12 for 22 was Deshaun Watson yesterday, and we'll see what he's got next week. With regards to the Toronto Raptors, they are a point-and-a-half underdogs tonight on FanDuel, hosting the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum in town, Jaylen Brown. Think of how many great games the Raps and the Celtics have had over the years. Fired up for this one. We'll see what OG Anunoby's got against Tatum, who I think it's probably Luka Doncic right now as the betting favorite to win the NBA MVP, but Jason Tatum cannot be far behind. He's been unbelievable this year. Another tough test for OG. I mean, this guy's just got the gauntlet. He's got Zion. All these great offensive dynamos that come through in the NBA. It's like, all right, OG, go ahead, buddy. Good luck against Jason Tatum tonight, and we'll see how she goes, but it's going to be a fun matchup tonight, and because OG's been so good for so long. Hasn't missed a game this year, coming out that 32-point performance against Orlando. But a matchup against Jason Tatum might be a different beast.
Yeah, and look, I think it's a good spot for the Raptors, a good measuring stick game, because the Celtics have proved that, you know, last year wasn't a fluke getting to the finals, even with all the storylines that follow them throughout the offseason with their coach. They've been one of the best teams in basketball, and they're led by one of the best players in basketball in Jason Tatum. And for the Raptors, they've been sort of up and down lately. I mean, they had a dominant performance on the weekend over the Magic, and I don't think that should come by any surprise. That's what they should have did against our Magic team. But, yeah, you know, now they're getting healthier. You know, maybe a couple guys are starting to, you know, get their rhythm back, and good, good test for them against the Celtics.
20 Fingers has cooked up the 20 Fingers parlay of the day for the World Cup. Let me bring it out to you, Coco. He's got Neymar to score anytime, Brazil for the halftime result, so to be leading at the half, and the over 3.5 goals in the game for Brazil against South Korea. That plays plus 404.
The over is 3.5 in that game?
Yeah, I don't know. That That doesn't really seem...
Or is that an alternate line?
That's probably an adjusted line.
Oh, it's an alternate line. Okay, I was going to say.
Don't love this one, 20 Fingers. This is not your finest work, but we'll see if it hits. We'll see if it
hits. I tell you what, man. Like, I know we should learn our lesson about disrespecting Croatia, but I kind of like the value you're getting with Japan in this game. Japan has beaten some very good teams. I mean, they beat Spain in their last game, correct? 20 Fingers? Give me the heads up. Did Japan beat Spain in their last game? Or was it Portugal? It was Spain? It was Spain, yeah. And they started the tournament by beating Germany. I mean, they beat two powerhouses. Like, you know, they could score goals. And you're getting them at plus money, too. You're getting them at plus 60. Like, that just seems
interesting.
Like, as dominant as how people view Croatia as a soccer powerhouse, they're a very small favorite in this game for some reason, which is very, very sketchy to me.
Well, we saw Croatia firsthand just take it to Canada last week. So we'll see what they've got today against Japan. That's a game you could hear right here on TSN 1050 following our show. Coming up next, Darren Dreger, a hockey insider. We'll talk about Saturday night's loss for the Maple Leafs. And a trade. Big-time buzz coming out of Vancouver with regards to Brock Besser. Could he actually be on the move? We'll ask Darren Dreger next.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
Leafs trying to get it in front of the net again. Marner shoots! He scores! Mitch Marner! 19 straight games and an emphatic one here with a shorthanded goal.
What a call from Joe Bowen in Tampa Bay on Saturday night. Mitch Marner breaks the Toronto Maple Leafs record for consecutive games with a point. He's up to 19. Unfortunately, the Toronto Maple Leafs lose in overtime once again. Back on First Up, back on Leafs Breakfast. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. We'll bring in our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, in just a moment. But, Coco, it's one of those things where, yes, the Leafs lost in overtime, but Marner got the point streak. You know, it's like, you know, there's some good with the bad, and it's all good when we welcome Darren.
I really don't care about the result, buddy. All I care about is what most fans wanted to see on Saturday night, and that was Mitch Marner break the streak, and so glad that we got a chance to do it.
Dregs, do you feel the same way? Marner's point streak, he kind of overshadows the way that it went down for the Leafs, losing again in overtime, now 1-6. What's going on?
Yeah, I'd be disingenuous if I suggested otherwise, because I've said repeatedly, not just on this show, but you know, across platforms, that I don't cheer for teams. I cheer for individuals. So how can you not be in the camp of wanting a franchise record to be established, right? And, you know, it was interesting as you got closer to Mitch Marner equaling the streak of Sittler and Olchuk, that he was trying to downplay it. You know, everything is about the team, and it's always going to be team first for Marner and for everyone there. But you could tell he was also getting a bit annoyed having to answer the same questions right up to game 18 to equal the record. But then he equals the record, and there's a full-on celebration, and we see the aftermath and the dressing room, how proud he was, and seemingly relieved by it all. And then Saturday night, he breaks the record, and he's got a whole new reason to celebrate. So, yeah, it was interesting, Carlo. AK, I don't know if you guys dove into social media on this, and I don't reply anymore. It's just not worth the aggravation. But there was a pretty good debate, you know, some who just want no part of it, you know, just kind of make fun of the 19-game streak, right? Because they're like, yeah, okay, this is a franchise streak. Who cares? You know, you have to look at the streak of 50 games. What was it, 51 by Wayne Gretzky back in the day and all of that stuff. And I, you know, that to me is the good and the bad of social media, right? Because what's wrong with Maple Leafs fans celebrating and acknowledging a 19-game record-setting point streak? Absolutely nothing. Nobody is saying that Mitch Marner is going to topple one of probably the records that's never one of the many of Wayne Gretzky that's never going to be equaled. But anyway, so yeah, I enjoy the streak. The game itself, you know, I think you can read too much into it. Yes, of course, Tampa Bay. Yes, of course, you can call it a measuring stick. You can look at how the Maple Leafs ended up losing in overtime and all of that. But I would look at that as being one of 82, and for the most part, they played pretty well in that game.
Yeah, and, you know, in a season where, let's be honest, most people are waiting till playoffs to judge this team, it's nice to have something in a season that excites you, like what Mitch Marner is doing, right? It makes you pay attention. It makes you more intrigued about, you know, personal stats or historic moments or even just, you know, personal accomplishments. It's awesome. I love it. I love the fact that, you know, the Maple Leafs, even last year in their season, you know, the Austin Matthews story, the you know, for the Hart, the Art Ross, the Rocket. I mean, you name it. It was something fun to follow, and this is too. And, you know, you mentioned the overtime streak. Doesn't it sort of amaze you that a team with this much talent has struggled so much in overtime? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Zero sense. Doesn't make any sense. And you know, automatically, we look at stats that leap off the page, and that one is screaming at you right now. But it's not like it's new to the Leafs. Like, they practiced 3-on-3. You know, and look at how that just unraveled for them. Austin Matthews isn't making a mistake like that inside the blue line probably 10 times a year, is he? Regardless of the situation. I mean, in terms of how he protects the puck and wins puck battles and all of that, it's different. It's 3-on-3. Obviously, the outcome is the extra point, and you're trying to score that goal. So maybe you're willing to take a bit of risk. But he turns it over there, and then Matt Murray, who for the most part has been really good for the Maple Leafs since coming back off injury, just lets a softie in, right?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I'm sure the players are tired of trying to explain it. If I were Sheldon, I'm going to take you guys, you know, Mike Babcock, when you use that name, it's almost like cursing on radio in this town. but I'm going to go back to the Detroit Red Wings days. I can't remember which round of the playoffs it was, but it was, you know, the old arena and the old Joe Louis, and I'm walking near the Red Wings dressing room, and the coach in the video room was, you know, in the same hallway, not that far away. And I look in there, and I see Babcock with Lidstrom and Datsyuk and Zetterberg. And they're standing or sitting in front of a monitor. And, you know, I obviously didn't bust in and say, hey, what are you guys doing? But I noted it, and then I saw Babcock later, and I said, what were you doing there? And he goes, huh? Well, we're looking at our power play. Our power play hasn't been very good. And, you know, he explained, as a coach, why wouldn't you, you know, speak to those who actually run and manage it and have a feel and know specifically what isn't working? It's not just about the outcome. It's about how you know, establish the structure, even 3-on-3. And I'm sure Sheldon has done that with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares and, you know, throw Giordano or whoever, Riley, and then the next go down the list. But it's something, because those are points that, again, you know why it matters is you get to the end of the regular season and you miss winning the division and perhaps a less difficult opponent, if you will, in round one. That's what it matters. Those points that were, you know, just let slip through the cracks 3-on-3, that's when it matters towards the end of the year and trying to lock up a division, home ice, all of that.
We're talking to TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger here on First Up. Dregs, Brock Besser's name has been involved in some trade rumblings of late. In fact, he was originally a healthy scratch, and then there was another injury to another Canucks forward on Saturday. He draws in, he actually scores. Does that change anything with regards to his agent being allowed to negotiate some kind of deal with another team? Can you fill us in what's going on with Besser and the Canucks?
Yeah, I don't think it changes much. You know, Brock Besser has been around Vancouver a while. You know, for him and his agent to get to that point, and the club, right? This isn't a one-way street here. This is Vancouver and the player just recognizing that change would be good. So there's no animosity. There doesn't appear to be. You know, it's not like Boudreau's a hard-nosed coach and he just doesn't mesh with a player and he's driving this player out. You might see that in Philadelphia. You're probably not going to see that in Vancouver. So they're trying to manage this as amicably as possible. And, you know, they're not sure how it's going to play out. You know, Besser still has a bit of term left in his contract. What's his cap at? 6.5, 6.6? It's up there. What would it entice me as a general manager, any general manager, is that he's young and I see plenty of scoring upside in Brock Besser. I do. So if you could find a way to make the money work, how you do that, I don't know. Is Vancouver willing to retain? Probably not because of the age. But again, I haven't talked to Patrick Alvin about this. But if you could find the right spot for him to again, reset, refresh, and get motivated again, he could be a 20-25 goal scorer, and that's not easy to find. But again, with a ticket at 6.5, 6.6, you can't swing and miss on this. You've got to count on Brock Besser coming in and being an impactful piece. But it's going to be curious to see how it unfolds, because that's a name that matters out there now on the trade front, right? And we've been kicking tires on a lot of potential trade scenarios, mostly on the blue line. But, you know, now you get a juicy forward here that could stir things up.
Well, and you feel for Besser, too. I mean, considering it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night and
you
know, he got into the lineup and, you know, all the struggle that he's been through with the passing of his father and just, you know, how everything works out sometimes in sports. You know, he scores a big goal for them to, you know, ultimately win in shootout. And, you know, you can't imagine some of the struggles he's been through off the ice. So you really hope that whatever happens, it works out in his best interest. And maybe it is being closer to home for him and his family. But you did mention the name John Tortorella, and he made headways again on the weekend with this classic post-game presser.
What, in your evaluation, was the reason for the loss?
For the... I'll leave that alone.
Are you happy with the effort tonight?
Yes. You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus. Played our ass off. We done? Thank you.
Short and sweet. So good. So good. I miss those. Brooksy. Come on, Brooksy.
Inevitably, though, you get the soundbite, right? You get the soundbite that has followed John Tortorella basically his entire career.
Yeah.
You know, he can be offensive at times if you take it personally as a media member. I don't think I would have done well in those exchanges with Tortorella. I don't like when, no different than when players that I work with or have or come across say, yeah, but you didn't play the game, right? BS, it's garbage. Same thing applies to coaches who you're asking dumb questions. Well, okay, why don't you submit a list of five questions that aren't so dumb, John, so we can play by your script? I mean, it's ridiculous. And he gets baited into sound bites like that, which is terrific for us, right? It's fantastic for us. But you know, his frustration is obvious. I don't scour the Philadelphia Flyers game by game, but the games I've watched and what I've read and what I hear around the National Hockey League, man, it's messy there. And you got to wonder if it wasn't a full-on mistake. not to hire Torts. I've always been a supporter of John Tortorella because I think he's a good coach. But it feels like they should have embraced a renovation rebuild, right? As opposed to, you know, injecting Tortorella and trying to get this thing going on the fly. That organization looks flawed to me. It does. And, you know, unfortunately, it's probably going to come at the expense of Chuck Fletcher, you know, the general manager who's worked his tail off to try and get some things going. But look at the coaches that he's chewed through during his time in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately for Torts, if he thinks that the turnaround is coming anytime soon, that's a stretch. So maybe we'll get a lot more of those kind of interesting sound bites from the veteran head coach moving forward.
Darren, thank you for doing this for us. As always, the Leafs off today. They are in Dallas tomorrow night, where Mitch Marner, his 19-game point streak, will go up against Jason Robertson, his 18-game point streak.
Who are you putting your money on, AK? You're a gambler.
I'm going Robertson, man. I mean, it's hard to bet against. He's scoring more points than Marner is right now. Definitely more goals. That's an interesting one. Maybe we'll send that over to our guys at FanDuel. Whose point streak goes longer, Marner
I'm
or
saying
Robertson?
Both. Yeah. I'm saying they both extend their streaks. How's that for riding?
I love
probably,
that.
Probably a good bet there, Drex. Thanks for doing this, man.
I love that.
Okay, guys, take care.
Okay,
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. I was looking at Sidney Crosby's point streak back in 2010-2011. 25 games did Crosby go consecutively with a point. 50 points in those 25 games for Sid. And listen, Marner's playing great. Don't get me wrong, but he's not scoring a ton of points. He's just getting one seemingly every single night. He had two on Saturday, but, you know, he's keeping it going. The consecutive point streak continues, 19 in a row, a Maple Leafs record. Hour number three of First Up coming up. Brendan Dunlop will join us. We'll give you the winners of the weekend and Mark Dominic, our NFL analyst. More First Up after this.